was born bold.
Pivot, protect. Whatever your next move, choose Judo Bank. Essendon, Havel and Great Wall, sticking together with all of Melbourne.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have your company this morning. The USPGA is heating up, Wisp. I know it might not be your bag, but put the telly on and turn the radio, sound down and have the radio listening to us. There are five players at a tie for the lead at 9-under. Scheffler, Morikawa, Johnson, DeChambeau and Champ all at 9-under. Jason Day's at 7-under. Adam Scott is at 2-under. He's 4-under for the day. And Cam Smith finished even with a card. Jordan Lewis joins us every Monday to talk footy. He's here thanks to Tempera, a mattress like no other. Welcome, Geordie.
Good morning, boys.
Where do you want to start?
Well, maybe I'll start with the most recent thing that's in my mind in last night's game, Petrarca. I can't help, and this is probably the first time in my footballing career that I've watched nearly every game on a weekend on a consistent basis. I used to get away from footy and not watch, but I can't match him up against anyone else in the competition at the moment. I think he's the best player, the player that I would tune in to watch every single week. He just provides so much entertainment, and he's so clean around stoppages. And he was unstoppable last night.
He did do some ridiculous stuff. He's blind turning his way in and out, and where they needed it, he broke for the middle and kicked that long goal. He is in a rare vein of form. And from a Brownlow medal point of view, there's Lachie Neal and there's Dustin, and then there'd be Christian. I would imagine they're all pushing pretty hard.
Yeah, he certainly would have put his hands up for the votes last night, I suppose. I was listening to you earlier. It was a hard game to watch in the first or the early terms. Just the reliable stuff that was missing, I suppose, the handballs that hit the ground, the handballs that missed the targets, the kicks that are wrong, ill-directed. But after half-time, and that's, I suppose, the frustrating things with Melbourne supporters sometimes, is after half-time, that's the side, they show that's what they can do, that's how good they can be. And I suppose the thing watching yesterday's game was the return to form, albeit 1 week, the return to form of Angus Brayshaw. I thought he played really well last night to complement Oliver and Petrarca. And then we're still seeing the emergence and the consistency of Sammy Wiedemann just provides that target up forward and the ability to crash packs.
Hey, Louis, you talk about Petrarca. You saw him up close when you were at Melbourne. What was the thing that was missing in the when you arrived there a couple of years ago? Was it just the endurance or was it his belief? Did he lack confidence? What was it?
Yeah, I think there was certainly an endurance base. I think when any young kid comes into an environment, sometimes they think they're working hard, but they need someone else there to push them. And I think Darren Burgess was that person. You know, when he came in, he gave Christian the license, I suppose, to really push himself from a running point of view. So I think, when you're doing running drills, sometimes it's nice and comfortable to hang in the middle of the pack. You don't necessarily want to go out and, what we say, blow yourself up and then try and hang on for the last few running reps. But that was him this year. He went out, really exposed himself at the front of the running group to the point where, the last two reps, he'd be right at the back. But he did that on a consistent basis, which means you learn how to push yourself, I suppose, from an aerobic point of view. And he was able to do that. I remember when he came to Hawthorne from the AIS, and we had to tell him to slow down. I mean, he was a bull as a 16-year-old kid, and all AIS kids spend a bit of time at AFL clubs to get a bit of exposure. And we had to pull him aside and say, hey, you need to back it off a bit because you're going to hurt a few of the senior players. But it's all coming together for him.
It is. Carlton, they were very good for a large portion of that game against West Coast yesterday, but they've had these problems and interruptions in their game when the score swings around and they're unable to stop the momentum of opposition teams. What is it that you're seeing about the way they play that they're not getting right in that particular area?
Oh, I think, you know, good side. The positive with Carlton is they can bang on a score really quickly. So that box is ticked. Now, what you've got to realise is you've got to have, I suppose, leaders or a style of game to go to when you realise you're under pressure or sides are coming at you. And that might not necessarily feel sexy or feel like the way that you want to play, but you've got to have the football smarts to slow the game down. And I feel like once they're challenged or once a side gets a run on, there's a certain percentage of their game that remains the same. You've got to implement things that either stop the onslaught, and that can be the way you move the ball. It can be you know, putting a player behind the ball to help and assist that. It could be putting a number around the ball to help with the clearances and get ground position. There's a whole range of things. I just haven't seen too much when challenged. It feels like when they're challenged, they still want to keep scoring rather than try and stem the bleeding, just cool their jets for a little bit. And then once that momentum has swung back their way, then it's their chance to attack.
West Coast keep franking their form, six in a row. They've got themselves into the top four now. We suspect they're going to probably have to leave Western Australia at some stage and go back into the hub. But where have you got them?
Just behind Port Adelaide, I reckon. I reckon if I was to choose my flag selection at the moment, it would be Port Adelaide. They're just firing on all cylinders. On the weekend, they were really damaging and really impressive in what was a cracking game. But West Coast sit just beneath them. And as you see, if they can just keep banking those wins at home, at some stage they'll have to leave. And there's still a possibility the grand final may be in Perth, which certainly would advantage them hugely. But, they have the firepower. I always look at sides and think, do they have the firepower to bang on four or five quick goals to get them out of trouble in a game where they might not necessarily be playing their best? And they're one of those sides, and so is Port Adelaide. Brisbane, I've got a question mark over. I don't see it on a consistent basis. Hipwood is their key forward, but just been a little bit inconsistent this year. Those other two sides can be really scary when they start to get a roll on.
And is it the injury toll on the Magpies, who have been my strong pick all year, but I'm also wavering a bit now with Adam Treloar added to a very, very long list of injuries. And it's not just injuries, it's who you get them to. And is it got too much for them now, do you think?
Oh, well, they'll do a hell of a job if they can put themselves in a position where they've cemented a final spot to get these players back. But, you know, Treloar, Penrubry, Hoskin, Elliott, Quaynor, and the list goes on. And as you said, it's one thing to cover injuries, but another thing to cover the injuries that they've got at the moment. And clearly, Pendlebury has been probably the biggest one. He provides that structure around the contest and, I suppose, the defensive element around the contest to allow the others to go to work. So they'll be hanging in there. What are they now? They sit eighth in the competition by 2 points, but it'll be a mighty effort if they can hang in there to stay around the eight and get these players back.
What about tonight's game, Geordie? Big game for St Kilda. Another test for them. I mean, they've passed a lot of these tests. They come up against a team that I still think can win the flag, and that's Geelong. I think they're actually one of the teams that has exposed some of their real depth this year. What are you expecting from the Saints tonight?
Excuse me. I did GWS Essendon on the weekend, and it was a hard game to watch from a commentary point of view, but when you go into the SEN studios or the AFL Nation studios and you know you're doing a game like this, it gets you excited. I love the way St Kilda go about their business. The game against Gold Coast last week was great from out there. Can you hear me?
Yep, sorry.
Yeah, we can. Yep.
Yeah, gotcha. Was great from a football lover point of view, but you know, Geelong just have that ability to not change their game style wholeheartedly, focus a little bit on the opposition, but adapt a little bit. So you would expect there would be no goals over the back like we saw, you know, early in the Gold Coast game. You'd have Harry Taylor deep in defence. Defence is probably their their biggest line or their most consistent line. So they're going to have their work cut out with the smalls of St Kilda, but it just provides an intriguing contest to tune into.
Yep, and we will. We'll be there. We'll be watching tonight in no uncertain terms just to find out just in fact where St Kilda are at. I think it comes at a really good time. Tim's right. I think Geelong are great testing material. So we'll find out exactly where they're at. And St Kilda supporters would be going in really buoyed and confident, I think, with what they've been able to achieve. And we know that the Cats are just so experienced and so consistent in their performance. I think it'll be potentially one of the games of the year. A quick one before we let you go. Dustin Martin's been fined 3 times for striking this year. Have we got that right?
No, I don't think so. I think one fine is enough. You do it a second time. If you're silly enough to do it a second time, well, you spend a week on the sidelines. I don't think the fines are big enough or a deterrent. And I certainly would put my hand up, you know, when I was playing, if it wasn't a deterrent for me, and I don't think it's a deterrent for the players at the moment. They understand what they can get away with. And some are happy to part with $500, $1,000 and continue to play.
Good call. We'll be listening throughout the course of the week. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Good on you, boys. Have a good week.
Thanks, Louis.
A reminder about our call of the year. You can win a brand new Toyota Kluger GX two-wheel drive. Register your interest for the new Toyota Hilux online today. Hey, I got it wrong too. Thanks for pointing it out, everyone. Adam Scott's 4 under. He's 2 under today. I think I got that round the wrong way. So I apologise for that. He's 4 under and 2 under for today. The leader at the moment, Wispy, as we head to a break, is Dustin Johnson, who's now outright lead at 10 under with 4 others following. Let's take a break and be back with more after this.